Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
All right. Good evening. How's everybody doing? Everybody good? No pressure about the funny thing, right? Wow. Good times. Like he just said, I'm the assistant pastor. I've been at Guts Church since 2001, which makes me old, and I love it here. I love this place. My family, we've raised them all here. If you didn't know, I have five kids. My lovely wife, Tara, runs our preschool. She's sitting on the front row over there. Let's give it up for... What? Remember when you introduced me, they didn't get that loud. I don't have confidence issues, so I'm okay. Tonight, I want to talk to you guys about... And this stage is little. If you guys don't know, I like to walk a lot. And this is not, like, room enough to walk back and forth, so... If I look fidgety, you know exactly why. I want to talk to you guys about just our hearts being right. And there's a story in the Bible that's impacted me. It's about the 10 lepers, but I'm going to get there. So let me start off with this. I had the opportunity, when I was a kid, we'd go to Mexico once or twice a year. Loved it. Awesome. And I was about 10 or 11 years old. I'll never forget this trip. My parents decide they're going to go to Mazatlan, which is like a resort town. They're going to go, my mom, my dad, and my little sister. I got a big brother. They're not taking me and my big brother, which doesn't make any sense, right? That's not fair. Like, they're going to go to the resort town, and we're going to stay in the village because my uncle needs help getting seed on the ground. So not only am I not going to the resort town, I'm staying to work, which has got to be child labor laws. Something should have come up, but nothing come up, right? So they go to the resort town, and I'm just mad. We have to wake up super early because we got to feed the animals, and then we're going to go throw this seed out. And so my uncle can have crop and all that stuff to feed animals, to eat, to survive. So we get to help, yay. And when you're 11, you just want to go to the beach. Like, why can't I be the one that goes to the beach and does nothing? So that's not the call of God in my life at the time. So I go out there, and remember, he gives me like a bag of seed. And yes, I see rows and I see all the stuff. I just start chucking the seed, right? Like, I'm going to get rid of this bag, and then I'm done for the day. My uncle's like, párate, párate. You guys know what that means? He's like, stop. Like, what are you doing? He's like, that's not how we do it. And I'm like, okay, what do we do? And he's like, showing me, we're doing this in Spanish. I'm going to do it in English for you guys. So he's showing me the rows. And he's saying, listen, there's rows, and we put little holes in the ground on purpose. You need to put the seed in there. Because if you put it in the right spot, it'll have room to grow, and they'll all have room to go. If you put it in the wrong spot, they're going to cross over each other. People are going to step on it when they're walking down the path, and nothing's going to grow. And the picture I got was so that makes sense. Like, I'm not very smart for just flinging it, right? Like, there's a process to this. But if you put the seed in the right place, it's going to grow. It's going to grow, and other seed can grow, not just that seed. And I'm just telling you, the mental picture I got when I got saved, and you start hearing about the parable of the sower, I'm like, whoa, I've lived that in Mexico when I should have been on vacation, but instead I was working. I've seen that in action. Matthew chapter 13, here's what the Bible says in verse 1. It says this, it says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. He was sitting beside the lake. I wasn't sitting beside nothing, okay? A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. No boat for me. Then he sat there, and he taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Right? There's seed. It's going out. And it's getting stepped on, so it's not going to flourish. Nothing's going to come to pass. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as seed been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And I love that because I had this image in my mind that when I put the seed in the right place, my uncle was going to have more crop than he needed. That everything was going to grow and it was spaced out right and it was put in the right place. So this he was going to produce that 30, 60, 100 fold. And I just had the image of me being a little selfish. I'm just like, it's seed, right? It'll grow wherever you put it. Let me just start throwing the seed. But no, there's purpose to seed. There's purpose to seed. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, a little farther down, Jesus begins to explain the parable. He says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Man, that's somebody who comes and it just doesn't make sense. I'm not getting it yet. And instead of them trying to dig in, they're just like, oh, the enemy comes and he steals that seed. And so even though it was the same seed, we're here on Sunday and we're talking about being healed. The same message is going to everybody, but not everybody's receiving it the same. Please hear me on this. Right, it's the same message, the same verses. It's Pastor Bill was the one up here. I mean, he's getting it out there to everybody, but it's not falling on the same soil. So our heart definitely matters in this. Because if it's going on the footpath, man, it's just getting trampled, and the enemy is stealing that seed. That's why people can sit in the same service, hear the same message, and some walk out and grow, and you're like, why are they growing and why am I not? I got to check my heart. I got to see what's going on the inside. Man, am I not putting the seed in the right place? Is my heart not in the right place? Verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Same thing. I mean, they went and they dug holes. They went and they tilled that ground. They found the right spots to put it. If you don't put it in the right spot, yes, it gets in there. And yes, something sprouts up quickly, but then there's no roots. It will not last without roots. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. I'm going to read that again. The worries of life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. So the seed is going in, and it's doing what it's supposed to produce, but when it begins to grow, it's on rocky ground. Why is it rocky ground? Because some people, they're being lured away by wealth, or being lured away by the worries of this life. That becomes more important than the seed that they've placed on the inside of them. Man, there's no growth there. They miss out. It gets choked out because other things are becoming more important than God. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So tonight, my goal is to help you make sure your heart's in the right place. Help you make sure that just like my uncle did, he went through and he made sure he was on the right ground. He made sure there was rows. He made sure he dug up little spaces so that he could place the seeds in it. Why? Because that was life to him. Understand, he's got to feed those animals to live. He's got to produce some of that crop so he can put it on his table so he has something to eat. That's how important it was, so he was very diligent with it. It's got to be so with us. We got to be diligent with this word. It's got to be life to us. Like, this is how I survive. This is how I live. This is how I make step by step, is by making sure that my heart's in the right place so when that seed grows in the ground, I can grow and produce what God wants me to produce. That's the heart. That's why we're here. Hopefully, that's why you're in the room. I hope you're in the room because you're saying, I want my heart to be in the right place because there's going to be seed that goes out tonight, and I want it to land on good soil, and I want it to produce something in my life. That's the witness that our community needs. And they begin to see us grow, and they're like, wait, why are you growing, and why am I not? Why are you joyful and happy, and I am not? So I'm going to give you guys a few steps to help you out this morning, this evening. Not this morning. It's cold, but it's definitely night. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of our heart. It all comes out. Out of our heart. I'll never forget, there's a verse that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So people will say things and be like, where did it come from? And it's like, it's in your heart. No, surely it's not. I'm like, well, then the word is either off or you're off. And I'm always going to go with you and not the word, okay? Like, that's my stance, right? So it's on you. It's not on the word. So you wonder, why does it come out? Well, there's something in there. Maybe it's not something you know that's in there, but it's something that you haven't dealt with that's in there. And then this comes out, and you're like, whoa, thought that was gone. I thought that wasn't in there anymore. And it still comes out. And it just reminds you, okay, I got to deal with it. Don't be hard on yourself. Man, I got to deal with it. There's something on the inside. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 1. One day Jesus said to disciples, there will always be temptations to sin, but what sorrow awaits that person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a milestone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there's repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. To keep a good heart, we must forgive. Period. It says even if it's 7 times. Same day, 7 times. Maybe move around. Maybe they don't see you to mess with you anymore, right? Like, they keep bumping into you and they're messing with you. 7 times, same day. They ran into you and they messed with you, and then they asked for you got to forgive. We must forgive. We must. And I love it because this church, I remember Pastor Bill up here just changed my mindset one time. He said, just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you have to trust them again. Doesn't mean you have to put yourself back into a place where they can hurt you again. But you have to forgive. You have to release them for the wrong that they've done to you. But man, most likely you shouldn't give them the same place in your life again. You got to be very careful. You got to guard that, because out of it, you got to guard drugs, out of it flow issues of life. But you have to forgive. You have to forgive. Verse 5 says, the apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Show us how to increase our faith. The Lord answered, if you had faith as even small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you, right? Just if you have just have a little bit of faith. Verse 7, I love this. When a servant comes in from plowing, you're taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No. He says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does that master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. And here's what I read from that. We can't be offended. So often we carry offense because we weren't thanked for something we thought we should have been thanked for. Or we harbor offense because we say, look at everything that I did, and then I showed up and you made me do more? That's crazy. But man, what happens is then offense comes in. Can I just tell you, so many people leave or switch churches because of that one word right there, offense. Can I just tell you, no church is doing it perfect. And I'm telling you, they're just not. There's going to be offense that's going to come in. And it goes back to point two, forgive. Man, you may have to forgive leadership from a church 25 years ago because you haven't gotten in close enough because of what happened 25 years ago. Different church, different leadership. So I just want to remind you guys, don't be offended. I mean, that verse, I mean, it's like the servant comes in from working all day and he doesn't get to sit down and eat. He's like, hey, I got to prepare his meal. And I don't eat till he's done eating. And then when he's done eating, he doesn't even thank him. And it's like, man, you should be offended. If anything else, that guy should not be happy. And it's funny because right before that, he said, how do we increase our faith? And that's the story that he tells. That doesn't feel like an increase our faith kind of story. Like, I'm thinking like, tell me to like read the Bible more often. Like, tell me to pray longer. Tell me to listen to that amazing worship music and like lift my hands. Tell me something simpler than that. That doesn't sound very fun to increase my faith. Don't be offended. I think it was titled, Don't Take on Offense, in that little couple paragraphs. And I just thought, man, we want increasing our faith to look so much like this. Like, oh, and it's not like that. It's putting on the apron and doing work. That's what it is. That's how our faith gets increased. The Bible says faith without works is dead anyways. Man, if we just have the faith, we're not actually going out there and doing anything. Man, it begins to affect us. So that when I read that story, I just thought, number two, to keep your heart, you can't harbor offense. You can't. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. And sometimes the harder part is you might have even been right. It's just not the way they do it. I loved having that conversation. There's not always one right way. I can go home today and I have like five or six routes that I can take. If my wife wants me to go home one way and I'm like, no, I'm going home this way. My way isn't right. There's just another way to get to the house. But so often we're offended because we didn't do it our way, which we deemed the right way. It doesn't mean it's the right way. It just means it was your way. Your way isn't always the right way. So part of this is just submitting to the leadership. Man, it's like, no. I've been working all day. I'm going to sit down and eat. He's like, no, you're not. Man, put on an apron. There's more to be done. So I just want to remind you guys, that isn't like the fun verse, but when I read it, gosh, it jumped off the page. Man, it hit me hard. It hit me hard. There's a great story. I loved watching basketball growing up. I can't play it. I'm 5'6 and a half. Thank you, Keenan. I don't play basketball. It's not my thing. I can dribble. I can shoot, but I don't play. But I love to watch basketball. And growing up, I grew up in the Michael Jordan era. I mean, the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. And I remember I got my first, somebody gave me a Bible, and it was like an athlete's Bible, like an FCA Bible. And I remember opening it up, and there was a picture of David Robinson. And I remember thinking, David, there's like good athletes that love God? Because I always thought like the ones that love God just weren't that good, but they were on the team, so they could talk to people. But I'm like, why have I never seen your number or know your name? But I'm glad you love Jesus, right? And then I was like, no, David Robinson's good. Like, he's really good. I remember being really excited that I was like, I can root for that guy. He loves God, and he's really good. And so I remember they were getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. And I remember I'm like, I gotta watch Michael Jordan get inducted to the Hall of Fame. And then I was like, oh, David Robinson is in the same Hall of Fame class. Man, this is awesome. And then John Stockton was in that Hall of Fame class. And if you're my age, those guys were the dudes. I mean, they were just the best basketball players in the world. I mean, Michael Jordan is still considered the greatest basketball player of all time. And I remember when I heard Michael Jordan's speech, I was kind of unimpressed. like it kind of made me look at him a little differently. He kind of just talked about himself a lot and kind of told his kids they had a lot to live up to. And I just remember thinking, what? Like, can you just talk about basketball? Because I love watching you play. It was so amazing. I want this same mindset of him dunking on foot. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want to remember this. And then David Robinson got up, and he began just thanking all these people. He said, God answered my prayers when the best power forward in basketball came to play on my team and showed Tim Duncan on the screen. And I mean, he just said all this stuff. And then he said to my kids, you're going to do amazing things. You're going to do greater things than I ever did. And I just thought, I knew he was a Christian, but he's like really a Christian. Like, not just like thank the big man upstairs Christian. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude knows the word. And I want to show you guys a clip real quick of David Robinson, the end of his speech, because it changed. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Story, from the Bible is from Luke, the 17th chapter. And it was a story about 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. And one of them came back. And one of them fell on his knees before him and said, thank you. And honored him and blessed him. And I just want to say thank you. God has followed me in my career, and he has blessed me, and he has strengthened me, and he's encouraged me. And if anybody who knows me or anybody who has watched me, you have seen his hand in my life. And my prayer is that he will walk with you as he has walked with me all through my life. So thank you very much. Have a great day.
When I heard that, I was like, whoa. The 10 lepers, I love that story. We're going to read that story in a minute. And he said only one came back and said thank you, and that always messed with me. And then he just said that for the gift that God's given him to play basketball, he wanted to be the one that came back to say thank you. And I'm telling you, it like, I'm not going to say I cried, but there's a chance that I cried when I watched that. I mean, get a little emotional. Like, I'm like, that dude really loves God, man. Like, in front of everybody, and that's what he talks about. All right, I'm going to keep going here. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The 10 men stood at a distance. They stood at a distance because they were unclean. How many of us feel or have felt the same way and distant from God? So just for, if you don't understand, and I think most of you do, but lepers were basically separated from their townspeople. They had to go live in what they call leper colonies. They had to go live away from everybody. So the fact that this story is happening is going to change their lives because maybe there's family that they couldn't be around. They wouldn't be allowed to be around that family because of this disease that's overtaken them because it would spread easily. So if I had leprosy and I got too close to you, it was that contagious. So they like quarantined these people. So this disease was just, it ruined. It took away everything. And so they stood far off. And so when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. As so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Life change. Go show yourself to the priest. Why? Because the priest has to sign off and say, okay, they're okay to go back to live in the community again. And as they went, the only step they had to do was go to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Healed of leprosy. Man, as they went, it's a life change. If they are married, they can go back to their wife. If they are a parent, they go back to their kids. Man, if they were son or daughter, they could go back to their parents. Life has now changed. They don't have to live in this call anymore. Jesus literally changed their lives. Physically, every aspect of it. And all he had them do, go show yourself to the priest. That's the only step they had to do. Man, go show yourself to the priest, and they're healed. And the priest signs off, and they get to now go live back in their communities. And one of them he saw that was healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and that man was a Samaritan. To keep our heart, we have to thank God. To keep our heart, we have to thank God. What is it you've gone through in life? And he's, man, just thank you. Man, whatever he's pulled you at, it may be a business deal, it may be your spouse, it may be your kids, just thank you, God. And I think we forget those gifts that we have that we sometimes take for granted because they just feel like part of us. Those came from God. Those came from God. Man, that gift is from God. Man, let's make sure that we're like David Robinson. We come back. We're like that one leper. We come back and we say thank you. And the Samaritan, if you don't know, the Samaritan probably felt undeserving and was an outcast from God's people. The Jewish people were different than the Samaritan people. Like a lot of Samaritans didn't talk to Jewish people most of the time. So he felt like an outcast. So he probably felt undeserving. So let's say the other guys were Jewish and he was the only one who was Samaritan. He would have felt most undeserving. Like, you didn't have to do this for me, Jesus. Man, I'm not even part of your chosen people. Like the fact that he would do it for him was even more. He felt even more, but he came back and he said, thank you. Thank you. What powerful words. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Like, obviously he knows the answer because he did it. But were there not 10 of you? Like, I'm only talking to one of you now. Where are the 9? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? So it makes me think maybe the other 9 were of Jewish descent. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Christ noticed the one who distinguished himself. He was a Samaritan. The others only got the outward cure. He alone got the spiritual blessing. Let me just tell you, this guy's life changed completely. The other guys, yes, they can go back to their homes. They can go back to everything. Yes, their skin is different. They're better. They can go back to their homes. But this other man was completely changed. And the only thing he did differently, he did one thing different than the others. The one thing he did different was he came back and he said, thank you. And because he said thank you, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. And I'm thinking, wait. He's already been, when Jesus is saying your faith has made you well, he's already been cured from leprosy. It's not like your faith made you lose your leprosy. That's already happened. He's coming back cleansed. He's coming back leprosy free. He's coming back. Now something is happening on the inside. It's not this outer thing. When he's saying made you well, it's not the outside. That's already been made well. It's now the inside that's being made well. For some of us, that's where our darkness resides. For some of us, that's where our hurt is. That's where our struggle is. That's where something's going on. It's on the inside of us. And it's crazy. By one man coming back and saying, thank you, Jesus says, he fell down at his face and his feet, giving him thanks, and he was Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? And then at the end he said to him, arise, go your way. Arise, get off. Man, you're thanking me, you're glorifying. Get up, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Made you well. Sozo, life, saved, set free. That's the kind that he's talking about right here. Something is going to be different. You're not going to be the same anymore. Do you understand? It's not just that you don't have leprosy anymore. Something on the inside of you is forever changed. That's what God's about. He's going to heal the outside, but my gosh, what he's going to do on the inside of you. Some of you guys have hurt for a long time. Some of you guys have struggled with things for a long time. Some of you guys, man, you're waiting for that next breakthrough. Can I just tell you, it's probably waiting right behind to thank you, God, for what you've done. Isn't it simple? God does not complicate it. Can I tell you that? He does not complicate it. That is not God. That's not what he's in the business of. He's not in the business of complicating things. Man, he's in the business of making us well. He made that man well. Samaritan, not the kind of man that you would think that's who he's going to take care of in this moment or this instant. But it's the one man that came back and said thank you. It's the one man that came back and acknowledged what he had done. I'm going to ask the band to come back up here, a couple people in the band, Nikki, and I'm going to ask them to sing a song. And I love this. You don't want to hear me sing, but I love to sing, right? Thank you, God, for the gifting on Nikki's life, right? Thank you, God, for what he's doing on the inside of her that helps us be free. So what I want to do, and it's always a little awkward and a little uncomfortable, but I kind of like that. I don't know why. It's weird. I'm weird. I enjoy that. I think there's some people in here that just need to thank God. I think there's some people in here that you're hurting, you're struggling, you're going through something, and you just haven't thanked God in a while. And I don't know what it is you're dealing with. And sometimes it's something that we've done, mistakes we've made. Sometimes it's just outside influences, stuff that's kind of happened around us. Not stuff that we've done anything bad or wrong, but just that storm of life kind of came in and it hit. And we're not sure what's next. And we're not sure what to do. And we're not sure exactly even where to go or turn. Kind of just need an answer. Can I just tell you that God is the God of answers? He doesn't want you to just figure it out. He wants you to have the best answer for the best solution for the best life.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.